Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Got your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Once you have found it, you know what to do. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start reading with verse number 15. The Apostle Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on the thought this morning, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. First, I want to look at this word redeeming, as always, in the Greek. And this word redeeming is translated exagorazo. Exagorazo, and it has two different definitions. The first one means to buy up for one's own personal use, to buy up something for one's own personal use. And number two, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. And it's that second definition that I really want to zero in on this morning, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. So the question would be, the last line of that says, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The question would be, well, what is the will of the Lord? And the Word of God has answered that. We preached on it not too long ago here, and that is simply to bring forth what? Much fruit to the kingdom of God. That is the will of God, that we bring forth much fruit. In Colossians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was speaking here, and he says, continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So three things he says there: to pray, to watch, and to do it with a thankful heart. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, and here it is again, redeeming the time, and let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. So the first thing that we're instructed to do, as I said, is we're instructed to pray, and we are instructed to watch at the same time we're praying, and to do it with a thankful heart. But then the Apostle Paul says to pray that God would give us a door of opportunity, an open door. Having said that, let me just say that not every door that's open to you is of God. I had a very wise pastor years ago by the name of Pastor Bill Truby called me into his office, and he said, "Brother Jimmy, I'd like to talk to you." I was like, "Sure." He said, "I noticed that you and your family are doing a lot of singing and a lot of revivals and stuff." I was like, "Yeah." And he said, "Well," he said, "I got some advice I'd like to share with you. If you'll accept it, I hope you will." I said, "Well, sure. What is it?" He said, "Brother Jim, I just want to tell you, brother, not every door that's open to you to go and preach somewhere is of God." And I just kind of looked at him because, you know, I was young. I hadn't been preaching for very long, Brother Robert. And I just kind of was puzzled by that remark because, you know, the Bible says to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, "Let me explain what I mean by that." He said, "Some churches you can go into, if you're not careful, if you're not led by God, you can get yourself into a hornet's nest because their doctrine is opposed to the Word of God. What they preach is opposed to the Word of God." So it's important that we know that when the door is open to us, that it is in fact a door that God is opening and not man. But I also want us to notice that this is twice now in both of these passages in our opening scripture text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and then here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, twice that we are cautioned to walk in wisdom when we are dealing with the world or with sinner people. There's a reason for that, and we have to be careful how we deal. And in fact, Jesus instructed his disciples as to how to deal. You know, sometimes when you witness to people, Brother Mark, they're not going to accept you. They don't. Some of them will be very belligerent about it. And so Jesus gives instruction as how to deal with those type of people here in Mark chapter 6, verse 11. He says, "And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart from that place, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them." And then he adds this sobering line, "For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment, Brother Dennis, than for that city." Jesus takes it very serious. I remember in the minor prophets in the Old Testament, God was speaking to one of the minor prophets and he said, "Son of man, when I tell you to warn the sinner of his ways and you fail to do so, and that sinner, Brother Jeff, dies in his sin." He said, "That sinner shall surely die in his sin. However, his blood will I require at your hand." Now that should be sobering to each and every one of us. He said, "However, son of man, if you do warn the sinner man of his way and he dies in his sin, he will surely die in his sin, but his blood I will require at his own hand and not yours, because you did not fail to warn him about the judgment that was to come." So it's very vehement upon us as believers that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What was it Jesus said? "If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Heavenly Father and before his holy angels." We got to be careful. We got to use wisdom when dealing with the world, when dealing with sinners. Jesus also warned of the many different types of ways that Satan would try to, if I could use this line, throw a monkey wrench into the works when it comes especially to new believers. In Matthew chapter 13, this is what he said. He said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth," in other words, soil, "and forthwith they sprung up," in other words, they came up fast, "but because they had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold." And I'm going to come back to that verse in here in a little bit. And then in verse 9, Jesus says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So there's three different tactics or ways, if you will, that Satan uses to discourage the believer, and like I said, especially the new convert. And the first way is by theft. You notice he said that first group where the seed was sown fell among the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured him up. That's Satan. Jesus described all this to his disciples later, and he said that group of people, that is when the word is sown, that the word is the seed that's sown, and Satan comes along, Brother Mark, and before that seed has a chance to take root in the heart, Satan steals it out of their very heart. He steals it from them before they have a chance to do anything with it. So that's the first tactic of the devil, is by theft. The second tactic is by replacement. We got a lot of that going on today. He said in that second one, he said, "Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith sprung up quick, and because they had no depth, when the sun was come up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away." Why is this? Because today, in today's world, the word of God has been replaced with emotionalism. I got quiet on me on that one, but that's the truth. The word of God, in many cases, has been abandoned, and people have replaced it. Satan has replaced it with emotionalism, with other books that come out by men and women and other ways and different types of ways that people do things rather than the prescribed order laid out by the word of God. So first he does it by theft. He steals away the word. And then secondly, he replaces the word with something else. And the final one, he does it with distractions. That third group said, "Some fell amongst thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Those distractions, Jesus talked about those being the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the multiple different types of lusts for other things. And we can definitely see that in the world, the church world today, so many different types of distractions. But Jesus also warned that not only does Satan have his tactics, but many times the believers themselves fall victim to ways, three in particular, that he talks about in this next parable that's known as, one word, excuses. Luke chapter 14, starting at verse 16. And he said, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And yet another one said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And this verse 24 is a very sobering verse. Jesus says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. None of them. Very sobering. So what are these excuses? Well, the first one, as we've seen here, was the excuse of places. I've bought a piece of ground. I got to go see it. That would be the equivalent today of people running to shopping malls, amusement parks, getting involved too deep with their jobs and careers, letting that take the place of the house of God, entertainment centers, sporting events, etc., etc., etc. Second one comes along, and the second excuse has to do with things. Man says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I got to go prove them. Who in the world buys 5 yoke of oxen and hasn't proven them first? That would be the equivalent today of people who buy houses and get so wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in their house, fixing this, fixing that, doing this rehab, doing that rehab, that they never come to church. Or somebody buys a car and they're busy out washing and waxing their car on the day of the Lord rather than being in the house of God. Other people letting boats and animals and things like electronic devices, Brother Creed, get them so spellbound in some kind of game or whatever that they just can't move and they can't make it to the house of God. Or maybe I Love Lucy series is coming on TV. Boy, I can't miss that. I got to stay home, watch old Lucille Ball, let her make me laugh real good and entertain me. Other places, other things, and other people are the excuses that many believers use to not redeem the time. But it's important that we redeem the time. I want to go back now, like I said, to verse 8 of Matthew 13. I want to read it one more time. The good news is, he says, but others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, when I seen that, and I've read this over and over and over, but when I seen it this time, the Lord showed me something I'd never seen in that before. And what really spawned it was, I said, Lord, why did you say that backward? Why didn't you say some 30, some 60, and some 100? And the reason for that is, Brother Dennis, is if you notice in the way he worded it, the reaping of the harvest gets less and less and less as time passes. It's because as time has went by, in the early church, Brother Jeff, the Bible said thousands were added to the church daily. But as time has gone by, look around you. Look how many empty pews we got here this morning. Now the church is a lie. Jesus knew what he was talking about. He went in the right succession of order. It has dwindled down. As time has went by, it has dwindled down. It's no wonder Jesus asked his disciples, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is continuing here, and he says, they that are on the rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and here it is, but in time of temptation, they fall away. Some 100, some 60, some 30. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a what? A falling away first. Some 100, some 60, some 30. I'm talking about redeeming the time this morning. Then in St. John chapter 6, John the Beloved said, but there are some of you that believe not. Jesus is speaking here. And because Jesus knew from the very beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time, many, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Some 100, some 60, some 30. I'm talking about redeeming the time. And that final verse there, then said Jesus to the 12, will you also go away? Will you also go away? That same question today is being asked to the church. Will you also go away? Falling away, not redeeming the time, allowing themselves to be duped by the devil, allowing themselves to get so caught up in the here and now, so invested in, and you've heard me say this over and over and over up here on my soapbox, other people, other things and other places, and they've forgotten about God. Don't even realize that God is the creator of all of these things. Now, I could stand up here and I could name different things, and I know if I did, it'd probably step on some of your toes. So I'm not up here to do that this morning. You know, and I know, what if we're not careful what we put before God. But we're supposed to be redeeming the time. And what I don't understand, and I've, you know, I'm reminded of the story that Pastor Joey Height once told, and he said he was going to witness to this man, and he said he thought, before I start witnessing to him, I'm going to kind of get him talking a little bit of small talk, you know. He said, I knew this guy from high school, and he said, I thought I'd talk to him. He said, how you doing? I'm doing great, man. He just bought me a hot rod. You did? Yeah. He's going on and on about this hot rod. I got to get me, he said, unfortunately, it's going to cost me high in insurance because, you know, it's a sports car. Yeah, man, that's great. He said, what are you going to do next? He said, well, I'm going to have to get me a good job to pay for it. He said, then payments are high. So I'm going to have to get me a good career job to make sure I get payments for it. He said, man, that sounds like you got it together. He said, what do you think you'll do after that? He said, well, you know, he said, I got to get me a house, like most people, get me a house and everything. And he said, then I'll probably get me a wife, you know, and we'll occupy that house, maybe have a few kids, you know. He said, man, that sounds good. That sounds like a plan. He said, what do you think you'll do after that? He said, well, we'll probably go get us a big old pontoon boat, go out on the lake, you know, and have fun. Because, you know, them kids, they grow up quick, and that ain't going to be long till they're out of the house. They're going to be gone. Then it's just going to be me and wifey again, you know. And he said, well, yeah. He said, man, he says, you got a good plan there. He said, what do you think you'll do after that? And he goes, well, what do you mean? What do you think I'll do after? He said, well, he said, oh, we'll probably die. He goes, yeah, then what? Yeah, then what? See, people think that they're going to live forever here. I want us to pretend for a moment that there is no rapture. Put that out of your mind. I want us to pretend that it's not even in the Bible. Now let's look at our life. We have such a small window frame of opportunity to redeem the time. I have never seen the likes of so many young people slipping out into eternity of all ages. Crystal and I have witnessed personal friends of ours who left in their prime. Devastating. We were close to some of these people. Even if God lets us live to be 70, 80, 90, even 100 years old, what is that if we're not redeeming the time? What is most important in this life is doing everything in our power to warn the sinner man, those two people that died yesterday in that Trump rally, I don't know if they were saved or not, but Brother Dennis, they went out into eternity. And if they didn't know Jesus Christ, Sister Darlene, the Bible says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. And just like the man of God in the Old Testament, when God said, when I warn you and I tell you to warn the man, the sinner man of his ways, and you fail to do so, I'm going to require that blood at your hands. That same principle applies today. If we're ashamed for whatever reason, it's not easy. Let me tell you something. It's not easy when you're trying to witness to somebody and they get belligerent with you or they start to insult you or some other thing. You know, I like to often think when that happens, I say, thank you, Lord. I'm not in the same boat that my brother, the Apostle Paul, was in. They about stoned him to death for doing the same thing. And so many other things he told of that they did to him. I believe three different times throughout his ministry, he was beaten with many stripes. One time he was left for dead. All these different things he went through. And I thought, you know, all of the stuff that people get vested in and get wrapped up and tied up and tangled all up in today, whether it's people, whether it's places, whether it's things, whether it's music, whether it's entertainment, whatever it is, people fail to realize God made it all. And as the scripture said, there in Romans chapter 1, was speaking of the people who no longer love the Creator, but the things that the Creator made. That is where we're at in the church world today. They have a passion for this world, for the things that are in this world, and for the people that are in this world. They will idolize individuals who are made in the very express image of God rather than idolizing God. They will spend their time wrapped up in things, whatever those things might be, rather than spending time in the Word of God and spending time with daily devotion and prayer before God. And rather than being in the house of God to worship God like they ought to be, that's the whole purpose for coming into the sanctuary, is to praise and worship Jesus Christ. Yes, we hear the Word. Yes, we teach the Word and preach the Word. But the main reason for coming into the house of God, Sister Wanda, is to lift up the name of Jesus. When he came riding in on the donkey and they were trying to hush people, what was it he said? I tell you, if you tell these to hold their peace, the rocks are going to cry out in their place. Jesus is meant to be worshiped. And yet, people, Brother Rick, are idolizing every Tom, Dick, and Harry in this world like they're something great. And you know what? I got a news flash for you. They're going to die just like we are. So that small window of opportunity we've got, we're not promised our next breath. Some people think, just like that story I told you that Brother Height told, they think they've got their life all planned out. They're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to do the other thing. You're not going to do anything unless God allows you to do it. And here's the scary part, folks. God sees your heart. God sees my heart. You might see Pastor Jimmy with your eyes in one way, but God sees me in a totally different way. And then vice versa. I might see Brother Rick back there. He's got it all together, suave and debonair, and got all the chickies looking at him. But then, you know, the Lord might look upon his heart and say, I don't know about this guy. He knows I'm messing with him. We've got a small window of opportunity to redeem the time. And as I shared with Crystal before I preached this message, I said that really struck a nerve with me when the Lord showed me that some 100, some 60, some 30. Because Brother Creed, we're living in the day right now. We're living in the 30s. People are falling away left and right. The house of God. I have people ask me all the time, how's your church doing? I was like, well, we're maintaining. He said, brother, I hear that everywhere. We're just maintaining. But I'm thankful, Sister Jenny, for what Jesus said. He that's faithful in the few things. One of these days, we're going to stand before God. And the Bible didn't say, God's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in multiplicities of multitudes of whatever other words you want to use. No, he said, you've been faithful over a few. And I said, Lord, thank you for that. I'll be faithful to the handful of people at Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle, if it be your will, to the day I die. If you never give me a large platform to be able to preach before thousands or multitudes, doesn't matter. As long as I can be faithful to what you've called me to do. See, this is where a lot of Christians get in trouble. Sister Wanda, they look down the road at somebody else that's got something bigger and they're doing something so-called better. And you know the old saying, the grass is always greener on the other side. I have been saved for 50 plus years. And I have heard, like Brother Jeff, many, many great stories about this miracle and that miracle. But I got to tell you, I've not seen one. And it's been over 50 years. I seen one miracle and it wasn't a person. One miracle in my lifetime and it wasn't a person. It was our dog. I was a young boy. Never forget her name. Her name was Bootsy. And some thug took a stick and literally knocked her eye out of the socket. There was nothing but a hole there. And I was crying so hard. And my dad, as carnal as he was, he still had compassion. He said, come on, son, we're going to get to oil and we're going to pray over Bootsy. We both laid our hands on that dog, Brother Jeff. We prayed. I prayed my heart out for that dog. About a week went by. We were out playing. Wasn't thinking anything about anything. Here come Bootsy. And I'm here to tell you, she had the most beautiful brown eye in that socket. Almost outshined the other one. That was one miracle I personally saw in my life. But Brother Jeff, I've not seen all that I've heard about all my years in church about people coming out of wheelchairs. I know it's real. I haven't seen it. Why do I say that? Why do you say that, Brother Jimmy? Because people are too busy running after the signs. They have forgotten. Y'all can get quiet on me if you want to, but I'm gonna put this out there. They have forgotten the real reason for being in the house of God. They have left the principles that God has laid out for emotionalism. The next greatest praise and worship band, or the next most flamboyant speaker. People are swayed, easily swayed. God's people are easily swayed by hirelings. There's not very many true shepherds in the church world today. And I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I'm just saying we got to redeem the time. And we can't let ourselves be hoodwinked by things that people say. I'll close on this. I've often said this to Crystal. I said, you know, all of these places we're hearing about that these so-called miracles are taking place, forget the fact that Brother Jimmy hasn't seen them. Why aren't the Jeff Gibsons being healed of his back problem? Why aren't the Robert Sabwamis having his eyes opened? If this is really happening, why aren't we flocking, taking the ones we know have got problems? Brother Mark, what he's facing, Sister Jenny, Sister Darlene, different ones I can name. Why aren't these being taken care of? That should be a news flash for you. That should be a red flag. I'm not trying to knock anybody. I'm just saying there's a lot of hoopla. People can tell some good stories, but I got to go back to my original statement. I've been saved for 50 plus years and I've not seen one bona fide miracle. And I believe there's a reason for that. Now, you all don't have to agree with me if you don't want to. But I believe when Joel said the day would come in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, I don't believe that's for our time. I never have. I believe that's for the millennial reign. And the reason I believe that's for the millennial reign is because that's the only time that evil's going to be put down. God won't put his spirit into an infidel. He will not pour his Holy Spirit inside someone who's a satanic priest. He won't put his spirit inside a homosexual. He won't put his spirit inside a drunkard. He won't put his spirit inside a murderer. The only way he can pour his spirit out on all flesh is the situation's got to be perfect. And that ain't going to happen until Jesus comes. So you can disagree with me if you want to, but that's what Brother Jimmy thinks. I'll just call it a Jimmyism and leave it at that. But we need to be redeeming the time. I've seen too many of people that I had a lot of confidence in, including some family members, that got caught up in that. And I'm not against faith healers and all this if they're really of God. But I think we can put too much stock in that kind of stuff, and we can live on yesteryear and forget about today and forget about what our purpose is today. I've often said this, and I'm not trying to belabor, I just want to get this out. I've often said, what good would it do to work all these miracles and all these healings and a person's soul not be right? They don't have the word of God in their heart. They don't have anything to stand on. What good would it do? I told you the story about the woman that they prayed for years and years at the Church of God that she would come out of the wheelchair. And finally, one day she came out of the wheelchair, and it wasn't a week, Brother Jeff, after she came out of the wheelchair, she was right back in the slop chutes, drinking and listening to the worldly music and dancing the dance floors. God knows what he's doing. But we're his hands and we're his feet. Jesus was limited to a very small portion of earth when he walked here. That's why he said, these works shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. He wasn't talking so much about healing and miracles, which all that was a part of it. But the main purpose for that in the early church was to authenticate his followers. Now we have the word. Now he's been authenticated. Now, that's not to take away. God still heals today. I'm not saying he doesn't. There's a sign right down here, a picture right down here that proves it with me. He helped me pass two great kidney stones. He healed me. I believe in healing. And even though I've not seen it, I believe in miracles. I'm still anxiously awaiting the day when Brother Robert starts jumping up and running laps around here and saying, thank God I can see. Amen. Or Brother Jeff walks the back of the pew and says, my back is perfectly whole. I want that. But more than I want that, I want to redeem the time. I want to hear my Father say, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you've been faithful over a few things. There's people, Brother Mark, that their attitude is, if I don't have a big church, if I don't have a big following, if I don't have a big name, if I don't have a big fat bank account, I might as well just have me a secular job. Well, you've done missed the whole point. You've done missed the whole point. Jesus had this discussion with his disciples when they said, Lord, would you grant that I sit on your right hand and my brother sits on the left? He said, I'm here to tell you, the one that's the greatest among you has to become the least. And if we don't humble ourselves, we're not willing to get rid of this narcissistic attitude that so many people have, so many Christians have. You're never going to do anything for God. And you're never going to be content, because Paul said, be content in all things. Father God, we're thankful for your word this morning. And Lord, we do want to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Yesterday proved that just again. Kenya, as we turn on the television, we see it in Kenya constantly. We see it in Israel. Lord God, we just pray that you'll help us, Lord, in this small window of opportunity of time that we have, to see to it, Lord, that we're redeeming the time, that we're being found faithful in what you've called us to do.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haining and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
to sing is what changed.